Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Dan Foster of National Review Online once again in for Jim Garrity, who's out this week. And Dan, so many people waiting with bated breath for the news that came surprisingly this morning, just before 10 o'clock Eastern time, the White House releasing the president's long-form birth certificate, and then the president going to the briefing room himself to basically read back the birth certificate to the nation and tell us all we've been wasting our time.
I just want to make a larger point here. We've got some enormous challenges out there. We do not have time for this kind of silliness. We got better stuff to do. I've got better stuff to do.
And quickly on the heels of that, Donald Trump taking credit for the fact that the president finally released the birth certificate.
I am really honored, frankly, to have played such a big role in hopefully getting rid of this issue.
Once again, the humility of Donald Trump coming across. He's grateful to be so important and so influential in the political process. Dan, so that came as no surprise. Interesting that the president basically chided the Fourth Estate for even paying attention to this, which are mainly his allies. And secondly, I think, given the fact that I watch way more MSNBC than I'd probably like to, it's usually those on the far left that are spending so much time on this talking about it because they're trying to paint any person that won't definitively go on the record and call this all crazy as someone who's a kook too. So they've been basically using it to batter Republicans left and right. So I'm not sure who's really to blame here for perpetuating all this.
Right. I think you hit it right on the head that the media gets a big kick out of baiting Republicans on this issue. And, you know, one thing to think about is, did Tim Russert ever once ask Nancy Pelosi when she was Speaker of the House, or even Majority Leader in the early days of the Bush administration, to disavow the 30-whatever percent of her base that said that they were 9/11 truthers on national television? No, but David Gregory gleefully, time and again, asked Eric Cantor and John Boehner to disavow birtherism. And when they did, he said they didn't disavow it wholeheartedly enough. And so, I mean, I think it's certainly the case that the media gets a kick out of baiting Republicans on this issue and some pointing and laughing at a fringe element of American society. But look, the fact of the matter is that you're right. And the Poynter Institute just did a fact check on Obama saying, look, I put out this deficit plan and all the coverage was on my birth certificate. Never mind, as Douglas Holtz-Eakin pointed out on the corner, there is no deficit plan. So, but the Poynter Institute fact checked this. They look at their coverage index or a coverage index put out by the Pew Forum that said, look, birther stories were 3% of the news whole. The economy was 40%. So it's just not true that the media has been dwelling on this. But maybe all, you know, President Obama only watches MSNBC too.
Certainly possible, but there is some good news here. As much as we disagree with him, it's good to know that the president is a citizen, which I think most people probably thought was the case. Hopefully, this will marginalize Trump a little bit, but now he's going after the college record, so we'll see how much traction he gets on that.
Yeah, I think as Victor Davis Hanson pointed out on the corner this morning, I think this is good for Trump either way because he can move on to the college transcripts, and if they do get released, he can say, well, I did that too. And if they don't get released, well, he's got another issue he can milk some more publicity out of.
Yeah, that's probably true, although I'm not sure as many people care necessarily about what grades he got at Columbia. But we don't know exactly what's in there, so there could be something interesting in there. On to number two now, Dan. And if there's anything we've seen in politics and just generally in life, if something works, people like to imitate it. And the grassroots efforts of conservatives, particularly the Tea Party, in going to town halls in the summer of 2009 and just letting their Democratic representatives have it for trying to shove socialized medicine down our throats was definitely a moment in American political history. We saw it then play out with big conservative wins in the 2009 elections in Virginia, New Jersey, and some other places, and, of course, the huge midterm gains for the GOP last year. So, naturally, the Democrats, now that they see that there's a Republican majority in the House, want to make life as miserable as possible for those folks when they hold town hall meetings. We've seen a few incidents of that this week. Paul Ryan got a little bit of it himself in Wisconsin, but for the most part, it's the freshman members of Congress and their votes for the Ryan plan that are getting some heated responses. Here's just a little snippet of what went down at a recent town hall for Congressman Dan Webster in Florida.
You're not caring about the deficit, or you wouldn't have gave away all those tax cuts.
Because
Because the country can't afford it. We can't afford it, you moron.
Oh, come on.
Are we going to afford tax cuts? Are we going to afford tax cuts for the Koch brothers?
Yeah, I don't know how the Koch brothers got woven into the Ryan plan there, but I guess some people come with their talking points. Interestingly, Dan Webster, unlike folks like Jim Moran and others who have been in hostile situations, Moran, a Virginia Democrat from just outside D.C., Moran demanded to see voter ID to make sure that people asking questions were actually his constituents. He was confiscating cameras and other recording devices because he's incapable of having a civil conversation. Here's Congressman Webster after the fact. Seemingly pretty much in control of his emotions.
Our focus is the fact that we want to stop the spigot of spending. We're overspending. We're overborrowing. We're borrowing at foreign countries. I just want to let the people know this is where we are. There's a coming tsunami, and we've got to prepare for it. And that's what we're trying to do. So I appreciate the people coming out. Nothing wrong with the clash of ideas. It's a good thing.
But the other thing we're hearing is that it's pretty clear these folks, a lot of them anywhere, from MoveOn.org and from Organize Now, which I think is the reformed Organize for America. So they're not exactly hiding the fact that they're basically an AstroTurf organization, which was the basic accusation against all the conservatives who actually were a legitimate group of people protesting against these things. So even as they try to disrupt, it looks like the Democrats are being called out here for what they really are.
Right, and I think that you'll see, I mean, the liberal worry in the blogosphere of the last week is that there hasn't been more outrage, and so they're trying to whip their machine into a frenzy to stack the deck in some of these places with angry constituents, and I just don't think it's going to work. I mean, there should be, and I have no doubt that there will be, extensive legitimate concerns with the Ryan plan among senior citizens and people who hope to one day become senior citizens. There should be concern. But the good news there is that, that concern can be quickly dispelled. And the only thing we need to do it is to clone Paul Ryan another couple dozen times. But I mean, so I don't think it's, I wouldn't be surprised if there's going to be a lot of serious questions and concerns at town halls across the country about the budget plan. But I also know that if we can adequately explain the budget plan and explain the alternatives, more importantly, you know, answer questions like, would you rather have premium support so that you can make your own insurance decisions as a senior citizen? Or would you rather have the president's plan, a valid plan to implement this independent payment advisory board that would essentially at the end of the day ration care? So if we can make that case to seniors and concerned constituents across the country, I have no doubt that we can win that argument. And that's not what you're seeing from these MoveOn types who are just shouting talking points and wearing stickers like that say things like "Leave our Social Security alone," when that's almost no part of the Ryan plan. I mean, that is AstroTurf.
Yeah, certainly true. On to number three now in our crazy martini. If this weren't so true, this would seem too crazy to be in this martini. For those who have paid attention to the Middle East uprisings, you know that over the past several days, and really the past several weeks, but it's really intensified in the past several days, the Syrian government's crackdown and deadly crackdown on its own people, hundreds of people killed in the last couple of weeks. And here's the international question. Has the international reaction been A, threats of military action, B, strong international diplomatic condemnation, or C, Syria being invited to be a member of the UN Human Rights Council? If you guessed C, you would be correct, because apparently that place is a magnet for the world's worst people. Libya has been on there. I don't know if they're still on there. Sudan's been on there, of course, a bastion for human rights over the years. And Dan, if we ever needed another excuse or another reason to point out that the UN is a hopeless cause, I think this is just about it.
And it's going beyond hopeless now. It's Orwellian. I mean, it's to call this body the UN Human Rights Council is a joke. And the saddest thing is that the Secretary General and the UN hierarchy either can't or won't do anything to stop it. I think the UN Human Rights Council has become a particularly ineffective but nevertheless at least reliable way for a certain segment of the international community to give the finger to the United States and its allies. And I think that the nomination of Syria to this body is just another indication of that tendency. Yeah, we can't take the UN seriously, but you know what? That's not news.
Absolutely right. A couple months ago, I mentioned that the UN was very akin to the bar scene from Star Wars, and Jim Garrity said that's not fair to the guys in the bar and at the cantina because they haven't been accused of mass annihilation of their own people, so we shouldn't be so hard on them.
Right.
Dan, it's been great being with you the last few days. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you later.
All right, thanks a lot, Greg.
Absolutely. Dan Foster of National Review Online. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us Thursday for the next Three Martini Lunch.